This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Dolphins Rewind, preseason week numero tres, is live on the air right now on 560 WQAM. Welcome in to the late edition of the Miami Dolphins Rewind Show. Solana here. I'll take you up until 10 p.m. Joe Sagacki wanted to do a preview of the Miami Hurricanes football season. They start next week. Cristobal era gets underway. Had to give my guy Joe Sagacki a little bit of love. So let him have my time slot. No bad blood there. You know, it's Joe Z. I mean, what am I going to tell him? No? Kick my ass, this Joe Z. So we continue on here, the late edition of the Dolphins Rewind Show. Have a really good show planned for everybody. Today, Tony Kaladiou, 10-Day Tony from the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gotts, Meadowlark Media. He will join me in the next segment, talk a little bit about football, get his general feeling heading into this Miami Dolphins football season. We're just a couple Sundays away, everybody. Just a few Sundays away from Dolphins football, from the Dolphins opening up at home versus the New England Patriots. Of course, though, tomorrow you do have your 7 p.m. preseason finale kickoff from Hard Rock Stadium. Dolphins Rewind, by the way, driven by your Southern Lexus dealerships. Real life, real luxury. The Lexus Golden Opportunity sales event now through September 6th. Again, tomorrow, 7 p.m. from Hard Rock Stadium, I will be there. 3 p.m. is when the local Miami Dolphins pregame show begins. At 5 p.m., it is the network portion of the Miami Dolphins pregame show. It's with Aronde Gadsden, OG, former Dolphins wide receiver, along with Kevin Rogers. All that begins tomorrow at 3 p.m. on 560 WQAM, your flagship home of the Miami Dolphins. Now, last week against the Raiders, it was that field goal that didn't go in for Jason Sanders. First one that he missed of the preseason. He was pretty much perfect until then. Not pretty much. He was perfect until that field goal didn't go in. Doesn't really matter, though. I think everybody's feeling confident about Jason Sanders. My biggest takeaways from the game, we got to see Tua for the very first time. And, nothing flashy. No Tyreek, which was kind of a curveball, because he wasn't on the inactives list. You were hoping you'd get Tua. You were hoping you'd get Tyreek. You were hoping you might even see a little bit of Teron Armstead. Jalen Waddle not playing. That wasn't too surprising. He had missed last week with some preventative measures by the Miami Dolphins coaching staff. He's still day-to-day. The hope is Jalen Waddle will be healthy for week one. And unless something happens between now and next week, I'm sure that will be the case. As far as my observations on Tua, I mean, you know, nothing crazy. He came out, he played the quarter, and I think it was fine. Go 6 of 8, 57 yards. Again, what you're watching there is not the offense that we're all expecting to see, right? No Tyreek on one side, no Jalen Waddle on the other. His number one pass blocker, Teron Armstead, who you bring in, one of the bigger offseason acquisitions, he's not out there either. Dolphins still having a little bit of trouble moving the football on the ground as well, which is something that, bring in Mike McDaniel, you want to see them get better at, certainly to help alleviate some of the load Tua is expected to carry this season as part of this new Miami Dolphins offense. So My biggest takeaway from Tua was it was fine. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. I don't think there was anything to be upset about. I don't think there was anything to jump for joy about either. Something else I had written down here, by the way, which I know I'll forget, so I'll get to it right now. The crowd last weekend for the Miami Dolphins preseason game against Las Vegas was unbelievable. I mean, I don't think I've been covering the Dolphins now for a couple of years. I've been working at QAM since 2016. I've been going to these games as the executive producer of the broadcast, the radio broadcast, that is, for two seasons now, and can't recall a preseason football game, home or away, by the way, that had that many fans in attendance. So shout out to Dolphins Nation for showing out, man. Like, we've talked a lot about the hype around this team. We've talked a lot about how the Dolphins have really become this national focus, right? It almost seems like every day on Get Up and First Take and First Things First, all these shows, FS1, ESPN, there always seems to be a Dolphins segment, and that has a lot to do with Tyreek Hill joining the team and the things he said about Tua, Mike McDaniel. Every time he steps up on the podium to talk to the media, he says something noteworthy as well. So it's no surprise that the Dolphins are garnering more attention nationally, but it's also good to see that locally down here, people are really rallying around this team. And I do feel like the consensus amongst Dolphins fans is that this will be one of the better seasons we've seen in quite some time down here in South Florida. Some other takeaways from the game last week, obviously Mike Gesicki playing in the third quarter of a preseason football game. I don't think anybody expected that a couple months ago. We're going to talk more about Mike Gesicki in the next segment with Tony from the Levitard Show. But, you know, we shift our attention to Skylar Thompson once again. Shows out. Shows you he belongs on the 53-man roster. There's a lot of different perspectives flying around from those people covering the team, going to practices. It seems like depending on who you talk to, Skylar might be a lock for the 53-man roster. Certainly Mike McDaniel has said that he will take the 53 best players. Those are the guys who are going to make that roster. It's going to be around 30 more cuts. 80 guys right now on the roster. Has to go down to 53 by Tuesday at 4 p.m. That's the deadline. So right around the time the game finishes on tomorrow night, we'll start finding out, probably Sunday afternoon, the players will start finding out if they'll be on that 53-man roster. And certainly by Tuesday at 4, we will know for sure. But, man, Skylar Thompson comes in right after we saw about 20 passes from Teddy, who also, you know, he had the bad safety, but Mike Gesicki just got lit up, let the pass rusher get right by him. It was an ugly play by Bridgewater. But, you know, nothing too impressive from Bridgewater. I thought he was fine. And then Skylar comes out and really just puts on a show. Him and Eazy-E, Eric Ezukama, they link up. And that was really the big takeaway from the game. Skylar Thompson playing really good preseason football again. And Eric Ezukama, the Dolphins draft pick, fourth round, showing you that, you know, he can be a threat for the Miami Dolphins this season. He'll certainly be on the 53-man roster, in my opinion. And then we turn our attention to practice this week. Joint practices with the Eagles, who are down here for the preseason game. Thursday's practice gets canceled. We know about that because of the stomach bug, which, by the way, I think the Dolphins made the right decision. There's a lot of guys who are really, really hoping to get some playing time tomorrow, and as Mike McDaniel said, you know, it could be the biggest game of their careers trying to make a 53-man roster, and I think the Dolphins wanted to curb the spread of that silly stomach bug going around the locker room and give everybody a chance to get healthy and be right for tomorrow's game. But Wednesday, Tua shows out, according to everybody who was out there. We all saw the videos. He's throwing backdoor fades to Cedric Wilson. He's linking up with Tyreek Hill for chunk plays. It was a really promising practice, according to everybody else that was out there. Even Mike Gesicki, we're going to talk more about him, as I mentioned, but he made a couple one-handed grabs, got beat up a little bit, had to walk off, was helped off the side, off the field, came back anyways. Mike Gesicki, you know, showing you that he can still be this elite pass catcher and somebody that can't overlook just because he can't block. You can't overlook him. So I know a lot of people are hoping to see some of the starters tomorrow. My guess is we won't. My guess is it'll be Teddy Bridgewater for maybe a quarter, and then a ton of Skyler, maybe a little Eric Ezukama again tomorrow, and that's fine if you ask me, because more important than anything, it's about being healthy for week one versus the New England Patriots. So my best guess regarding tomorrow's preseason game is no Tyreek, certainly no Jalen Waddle. Xavier Howard will probably still sit out. No Teron Armstead. We know Byron Jones, it's not looking great right now in terms of his recovery from that injury. And probably no Javon Holland either. Some of these starters will be sitting tomorrow, I'm certain of it. So that's where we're at right now with the Miami Dolphins. There's still a couple questions in terms of who's going to make it from the wide receiver room. There's a ton of guys, and it's being talked that there could even be six wide receivers who are going to make this roster. And then the cornerback situation, Mackenzie Alexander, who the Dolphins signed last week, he goes down. Is Noah Igbinoghene going to get some run tomorrow? Can he show us that he's at the very least going to make one good play in preseason? Those are certainly some questions here for the Miami Dolphins. Coming up in the next segment, we'll talk with Tony from the Levitard Show. This is the Miami Dolphins Rewind Show with Solana, driven by your Southern Lexus dealerships. Real life, real luxury, the Lexus Golden Opportunity sales event now through September 6th.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We continue on here with the Miami Dolphins Rewind Show here on 560 WQAM. Remember, Dolphins Rewind, it's driven by your Southern Lexus dealerships. Real life, real luxury, the Lexus Golden Opportunity sales event now through September 6th. Really excited to bring on our only guest for today. I've been teasing it all show long. You might know him as 10 Day Tony. You might just know him as Tony. You might know him as Ant, as I do, from the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gatz, Meadowlark Media. Tony, it's weird. It's weird calling you Tony. Most people don't know. I've known you for quite some time. So, you know, I've always called you Ant. We've done some shows together, and I always call you Ant. But you're Tony now. Everybody knows you as Tony.
It's so weird, right? Like, I can always tell who knows me from where by what they call me.
Yep.
And, like, there before Le Batard Show, before I became Tony, like, I was always Ant or Anthony. And obviously, since I crossed over, like, now I'm Tony. But I come from a long line of Tonys. My dad is Tony. My grandfather's Tony. So, like, my mom, when Dan started calling me Tony and people started calling me Tony, was like, why are they calling you that? Like, that's not your name. My wife says the same thing. She's like, it's weird to call you Tony. Like, Tony's your dad. Tony's your grandfather. But funny enough, like, it's weird to just be back on terrestrial radio. Just like, me and you have this relationship from like a long time ago, let's say. And WQAM was like my first job.
Yeah.
So in a weird way, like, it's kind of like a full circle coming back and like now doing stuff for the station is just, it's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you're doing stuff for the station. You're kind of just doing you're doing me a solid. Full disclosure, Tony's doing me a solid here. You know, he's busy. You've got UFC stuff to prepare for, and I'm sure you're working on the refrán del día. Like, you're busy.
Miami's hottest segment. Good thing is UFC's off this weekend. We got a big fight coming up in the next couple of weeks. Fantasy, obviously, we're gearing up towards fantasy season. A lot of cool stuff that we're going to be doing at Metal Arc Media, on the Dan Le Batard Show, obviously. But no, man, I always have time for you. Come on. And we're talking football. Like, give me a break. I'll stop anything. I stopped driving, drove straight home to get here to talk football with you.
It's a late one, but I do appreciate it. I guess we'll start with the Miami Dolphins. By the way, follow Tony on Twitter, on Instagram. It's 10 Day Tony, right? With the actual number,
at 10 Day Tony.
At 10 Day Tony. I want to start, obviously, with the Miami Dolphins. You've been known, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's fair to say you've been known to be a bit hesitant to buy into Tua and the Miami Dolphins in the past. They had Tyreek Hill. They have Mike McDaniel, who I want to get your thoughts on as well. But look, you're somebody who I know follows the league. You're doing your film study, and I just want to know, like, your general thoughts on the Miami Dolphins going into this season. Obviously, you're going to like the Tyreek Hill addition, but look, bottom line, it's all got to come together. Brand new head coach, brand new weapons, and yes, Tua has to take that next step. Are you feeling good about the Dolphins this season?
So I'll say yes and no at the same time, right? And like, I'll answer all of your questions in succession. How do I feel about Tua? I thought he was a can't miss prospect out of Alabama. I loved watching him. I thought his release was great. Again, is that byproduct of Alabama just elevates guys at every position because of the fact that the strength of the unit is almost better than the individual? Like, I feel like we've seen a lot of instances where guys have gone to the league, not really panned out because they've been in Alabama. They just look so much better. So offensive line was plus, receivers and tight ends were plus. Like, running backs were plus, obviously. And then Tua was there just kind of being the point guard of the offense. So for me, I'm looking across and saying, okay, Tua was a really good prospect. Obviously, hurts his hip. That's a big problem for me, right? Another thing, too, like, and I know a lot of people say, oh, that, like, that doesn't matter. Like, there's something to having a lefty quarterback that changes the dynamic of your offense, right? Obviously, now your most important piece, your left tackle, now has to swing over to right tackle. And a lot of right tackles and left tackles, like, it's a different position, right? You're sliding different ways. You're doing different things. Of course, a lot of people acclimate and, you know, make do with what they have. Teron Armstead's a huge addition. Like, he's naturally a left tackle. Like, what are we going to see him doing across the line? Like, the line's always been a problem, to answer your question about the Dolphins in the past. The line's always been a problem. I don't think we've really gotten a fair shake to see what Tua's made of with, you know, I want to be kind, with suspect weapons, with a absolutely suspect, like, Division II offensive line. Just a little stat for you here, because I came prepared with stats.
Oh, wow. You're breaking out the numerals. Let's go. Bring it on, baby.
So before this, I was like, let me go run and get my iPad so I can come out with stats. So in 2021, the Dolphins ranked 31st in receiver separation. Okay. For the last 2 years, the Dolphins have been the NFL's worst team in receiver separation, 127 out of 127,
wow,
and 132nd out of 132nd. So when you're talking about Devontae Parker, who is literally the worst wide receiver when it comes to separation, and that's what Tua is working with a suspect offensive line, with Miles Gaskin or sub in whomever you'd like in the backfield. Like, yeah, I don't really know what he is. This is the year, though, right? Like, Mike McDaniel comes in. I thought it was a slam dunk hire. I love Mike McDaniel coming out of that Kyle Shanahan system. I love what he's able to do across the board with gap and with scheme and with getting manufactured touches for his guys, right? Like, Deebo Samuel came out of nowhere last year. Again, albeit hyper-efficient, and his A-dot versus his yards per catch were insane, right? Like, I don't know if he'll be able to keep that up again. But the fact that all of a sudden Tyreek Hill comes in, and you can kind of, again, they're different players, Tyreek Hill and Deebo Samuel, but you can kind of start making the judgment call of like, okay, McDaniel loves Tyreek, and he's going to manufacture plays for him and give him a lot of layup targets, which I think is a really interesting case when you have Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. Like, getting them in space is so important. You go from having the worst receiver separation rate in the league to now having two guys that separate at will, right? Like, that to me is really exciting. I love Mike McDaniel. I really think that he can unlock whatever Tua has, right? Like, this is the year. I'll give him this year. If this year they are subpar across the board offensively, like, it's time to, you know, kick him down the road and try and go get another prospect somewhere, get maybe a stopgap guy that can fill in, right? As free agency kind of pans out, you can maybe get a veteran guy, plug in, Alex Smith style, right? Where you can kind of wait and have a bridge for that next quarterback. But for me, man, like this is it. Like, this is the year for Tua, make it or break it. You have all the weapons. You have Gesicki on a franchise tag. You've got Cedric Wilson. Like, can we talk about the build really quick?
Yeah.
This team? So, like, free agency, you get Chase Edmonds. You bring in Cedric Wilson. You bring in, obviously, trade for Tyreek Hill. You bring in Sony Michel. You bring in, who am I missing? Raheem Mostert,
yeah,
who I love, by the way. Sneaky guy. I've loved him everywhere he's been. You bring in all those guys, and then you get your coach. Obviously, the Tyreek Hill thing happened after. But it's almost like they built this kind of hodgepodge of a roster, brought in Mike McDaniel and said, all right, fix it. Right? Like, what? Like, if Gesicki's there, if Tua and Waddle are playing in the two wide receiver sets, obviously you're bringing in Cedric Wilson when you're playing three wide receiver sets, but like the build of the roster feels kind of weird to me. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know if it feels weird. I just think it's a lot of, to your point, by the way, it's a lot of components that have to come together. And let's be 100% honest. The Miami Dolphins for the past two seasons were one win away from the playoffs. So they're there, right? They're teetering on that line of playoff team, not a playoff team. Have they been good enough the last 2 years to get into the playoffs? I think they were. You know, Tua probably could have played a little bit better in games that really mattered. But were they good enough to get into the playoffs and win a divisional game on the road? That's where I think, you know, separates them and separates how a lot of people view the team. But this year, it's a lot of components that have to come together quickly. Their schedule early on is tough. Those first four games, I know everybody talks about it. I do think that, you know, the roster construction is interesting, but I think more so than that, it's not that the roster can't work out together. I think it's a matter of, can they work out together early on and figure out things early on? And I think that's what, you know, to me is going to be the difference between week six. Tyreek Hill is still giving Mike McDaniel all this props and still thinks Tua is the most accurate quarterback. Or everybody's upset at everybody. Everybody's pointing the finger. And by the way, Mike McDaniel, who we all love, I love as well. But, you know, these 3-minute long-winded answers where he's giving you all this info isn't as cutesy anymore. You know, it's not as desirable anymore by the Dolphin fan who's desperate to get into the playoffs and thought this roster construction, the brand new head coach that everybody likes, and that next year of Tua, if it doesn't all come together, you're looking at, you know, a bleep show.
A really bad situation.
Yeah.
Yes. The funny thing is, you look at their first six games, right? Obviously, Pats, which we'll talk about the Pats in a second.
Yep.
Pats, Ravens, Bills, Bengals, Jets, and Vikings. I'm really high on the Vikings this year, by the way. I love them. I think they're a smash spot, especially in that division that's a bit on its head right now with Devontae Adams leaving the Packers. But when you look at those first six games, and yeah, if you end up 2-4 and your wins are against the Pats and the Jets, do you feel okay, or is it like, all right, wait a second, we're gonna get to another part of the schedule here where you've got Pittsburgh, Detroit, Chicago, Cleveland, Houston.
Right.
You get to a bit of softer part of the schedule. Like, if you're 2-4 in the first 6 weeks, is the bridges being burned? Is Miami on fire, or is there a bit of like a patience? Let's wait and see.
Right, right. And I think that's what we're gonna find out. And obviously there's context, right? If you lose to the Bills and it's a close game and it's just Josh Allen, you know, being magical at the end, being Josh Allen, they win by a field goal. You'll come away from that game, not that there's any moral victories, obviously, but you'll come away from that game saying, okay, the Dolphins can compete with the Bills, which is a positive, but if you're 1-2 because you lost to Baltimore, you lose to Buffalo, and now you have to go on the road Thursday night against a team who narrowly won the Super Bowl last year, or narrowly missed winning the Super Bowl last year.
One play away from the Super Bowl. Like, yep. Aaron Donald away from the Super Bowl. Yeah, victory.
Yeah, Aaron Donald. By the way, this guy's beating people up. That's not the video I was expecting at a camp,
dude. That's the one guy, right? When you talk about the one guy that you do not want chasing you or having ill will towards you, I feel like Myles Garrett. We saw that. I was like, ooh, not great. Aaron Donald is the one guy in the NFL where I'm like, you know what? I'm good. Like, whatever beef we have, like, let's squash it before you actually come through and, like, run me over. Him training with knives. Have you seen these videos,
yes,
obviously, with him,
yes,
like, doing, like, Bruce Lee, like, I don't know, the hand swats of knives and stuff. It's so crazy. But hey, he's the best player in the NFL at his position. Like, there's nothing to say.
It also, to me, speaks wonders about the difference between something happening on primetime TV or network television that everybody can see, and something happening where, you know, really the best video we get is an Adam Schefter video. He probably paid somebody $50 that was on the sideline. Like,
from a mile away.
Right. So the difference between the same act happening on network television and on an iPhone, to me, speaks wonders about, you know, the way we judge things. But whatever, that's a deeper conversation for another day. So I think, you know, to kind of just wrap this up in terms of the Dolphins, we're on the same page. We like the roster construction. We're both high on McDaniel. And the cliche takeaway, I think, is it's up to Tua and all these pieces to kind of fit together. And mm-hmm. you know, we'll see. That can be the difference between the Dolphins being...
One thing I want to say, because we didn't mention him, and I think a really important piece of McDaniel's offense is George Kittle when they were in San Francisco, right? Like, Mike Gesicki, I'm at this weird crossroads with Mike Gesicki because I think he's a really special tight end in the fact that he is of the new mold of tight end, a la Darren Waller, a la Kyle Pitts, Mark Andrews, who is a catch first, you know, absolute problem when he's lined out wide. My issue is, in Mike McDaniel's offense, the tight end is in line so much more. Like, the percentage of snaps that he ran in the preseason, again, the hashtag preseason snaps matter, he ran in line so much more than what he did last season, where he was out wide at a disproportionate rate, which is why he was asking to be paid like a wide receiver.
Right.
Like, how is that going to mesh now where, you know, Mike McDaniel's going to be like, no, I need you to come in here and block. And that's not what Mike Gesicki does. Like,
yeah.
There's also been chatter of like, hey, teams, the Dolphins have called around about Mike Gesicki.
Yeah.
Like, Durham Smythe is the next guy up, I think. Is that the tight end of the future for the Miami Dolphins? Like, Durham Smythe? No,
right.
I don't think so. Like, what do you think about Mike Gesicki and like his role within this? I feel like he's the odd man out.
Yeah, I mean, he played into the third quarter of the second preseason
which
game.
Which is not good.
Which is not good. And then Mike McDaniel on Thursday, Dolphins practice was canceled, but he was asked about it directly, and he didn't deny that the Dolphins had sent out a couple feelers on Mike Gesicki. But then we got the report, I think Thursday night, later that night, from Sports Illustrated, that the Dolphins are now denying the reports that they're looking to trade him. Look, there's no doubt that Mike Gesicki right now, and he's been vocal about it as well, where he was, it almost, based on his comments, seemed like he was told by somebody in the organization, hey, you were a wide receiver. Like, let's not beat around the bush. You were a wide receiver, and now you have to adjust. But can you learn to block well in whatever six weeks? You know, however long training camp is.
The answer is no.
Right. So, but I still think, like you mentioned, he is so dynamic that I think the Dolphins would have a hard time, you know, trading him. But you also have to look at, well, if they're going to lose him anyways in the next offseason because his role in the organization isn't exactly what they need from that position, then you might as well go out and get something for him. The Dolphins are lacking cornerback depth. So it's interesting. I'm really interested to see how this will play out. But to your point, I'm with you 100%. He needs to block. He's not good at blocking. That's a problem.
It is a problem. But like, again, in the new age, like, he's going to be valuable to somebody.
Right.
Right, like,
yeah,
somebody needs that offensive tight end. Especially if you're going to go 12 personnel, where you can have kind of both. And I'd be interested to see if Mike McDaniel is going to go 12 to at least be able to line up Gesicki out wide and have that blocking tight end more so in the line,
yeah,
and actually being able to use play action and stuff, which I think will help too a lot, especially if the line's a little shaky to start the season.
Definitely. And to be fair, like, Tua played, and whatever, I don't take too much. I talked about it earlier in the show. I don't take too much from, you know, one quarter where he threw eight passes and Tyreek's not playing, Waddle's not playing. I don't look too much into it. I still am very interested to see how it'll work with Tyreek, Waddle, Cedric Wilson, and Gesicki. Like, man, all those guys out there, I have a hard time thinking that McDaniel won't be able to maximize their abilities mm-hmm. around Tua. So it's interesting. And I'll stick with Gesicki here. I know you do a lot of stuff. Again, we're talking with Tony Kaladiud, Tony from the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gotts. He does a bunch of content for Meadowlark Media. One of the things that you did most recently on your Instagram, at 10DayTony, I hope everybody goes and follows him, is your fantasy insight. You just did a video a couple days ago. It's also on the Dan Le Batard Show Instagram account and Twitter page, where you talk about four running backs you're fading in fantasy. And you're one of these guys that takes fantasy football very seriously, a little too seriously for my liking, by the way. But we'll talk about some of the Dolphins players quickly here. Mike Gesicki, that's not somebody you're going to rely on to be your number one tight end anymore, because as we just discussed, like, his role is kind of up in the air right now.
Yeah, and when it comes to specifically tight ends in fantasy, and yes, like, I am a bit of a fantasy nerd, and like, I think that there is a real launch pad for fantasy sports, even more so than what it's been, right? But to get to the tight end talk, like, if you are drafting and you do not land on one of the top five or six guys, right, being Kelsey, Andrews, Pitts, Darren Waller, and George Kittle, if you're not landing any of those five guys, like, you're in kind of a weird space. Mike Gesicki, to me, falls in at, like, tight end, like, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, somewhere in that mix, where if you're in a 10 or a 12-team league, there's a chance that you're not even starting Mike Gesicki, right? And then all the news coming out that he's not blocking, that they need him to block, that they're going to use him more to block instead of out wide. Like, he was a bit of a cheat code last year because he had such a productive season out wide that it was like, oh, wow, Mike Gesicki's like a real problem. Now, with the change in role, with the change in dynamic within the organization, like we've talked about, it's somebody that I'm definitely fading on. Like, even if, I mean, even as a backup, like, I think there's still better backups out there. Albert O from Obumacang. It's a tough
one. Yeah, it's a tough one. It's a tough one.
Albert O from Denver. Like, I think Dawson Knox is still, you know, even though he's been hyper efficient with touchdowns, like, he's a guy that I'm going after in those middle to late rounds. TJ Hawkinson. Dude, a guy super sneaky, if we want to get super deep into the weeds here, a guy from, you know, from around these parts, Brevin Jordan with the Houston Texans, a really interesting piece with Davis Mills and with that offense, like, a sneaky, like, interesting offense for me. I always keep tabs on. But yeah, Mike Gesicki, I'm absolutely fading him.
My hot take of the NFL season, by the way, and this is an exclusive, you haven't even shared it yet, but I'm thinking that the Texans are like this sneaky good fantasy team all around, because, dude, everybody made fun of Davis Mills last year, but
I know
locally here, we all know that him and Tua, their numbers were kind of similar.
Very similar. Yeah. Very similar. And obviously, if you listen across different things, and like, you listen to Le Batard Show, I was banging the drum on Davis Mills last year, saying a very hot take of he's not that bad, which was a lot of smart football people were telling me, hey, Davis Mills, not that bad.
Yeah.
People laughed at me. People made fun of me. But the fact is, like, he really is not that bad. Like, in the preseason, he has struggled. But last year, his numbers with Tua were very comparable to each other.
Yep.
So I actually like that hot take that the Texans are not going to be absolute dog. You know what? But, like, the fact that they'll be able to support maybe a wide receiver, fringe 2-3 with Brandon Cooks, Brevin Jordan, a sneaky tight end that I'd be interested to watch, Damian Pierce, the running back. Like, there's a lot of guys in that offense that I like.
Yep. Just really quickly, Waddle, Tyreek, those are still two guys. If they're there and you need a wide receiver, PPR, like, you can't really bypass them, right?
No. So I'm in this weird position where I obviously play in a ton of fantasy leagues, and, like, there's a couple of leagues where sometimes Tyreek falls to me in the mid-second, and I like the Tyreek pick there because I think that they brought him over for a reason. Obviously, you're not going to get the same long ball, home run hitting Patrick Mahomes offense with Tua, but the fact that McDaniel's going to give him those layup throws that are going to give him those manufactured touches in space to do what he does best. Like, I love Tyreek Hill as a fantasy player. I think I've had him for the last, like, 3 or 4 years where I go out of my way to get him because I think he's the most dynamic player in the NFL at the moment. Like, I'm not passing him up at that two, at that two spot. It's always if he lands to me, of course. And like, Waddle's creeping in around like in some ADPs, like mid fourth round, you can get Jalen Waddle. And like, look, man, you don't catch 106 balls as a rookie and then do worse, right? Like, right. I think that's his baseline, is like catching 100 balls, being a guy in space with that short, you know, quick passing game that they want to hit, where he's going to catch 100 plus balls, hopefully eclipse 1,000 yards, maybe get a couple touchdowns in there, like maybe some long touchdowns breaking routes. Like, that to me is somebody that's worth a fourth round pick, where I can get wide receiver two, and if everything breaks right, it may be wide receiver one, albeit injuries to other people on the team. But like, if I have a path to a wide receiver one, like, that's something that's really interesting to me.
Listen, man, if he did that and Devontae Parker was the only other guy you really had to be worried about last year on the other side of the quarterback.
Again, worst wide receiver in the last two seasons in separation rate, 127th and 132nd.
If he ate that way, imagine what's going to happen when you have Cedric Wilson, you add Tyreek Hill. Like, I can't imagine Jalen Waddle will regress this season. Hopefully, I'm 100% spot on with that, but it makes sense to me. It totally does. Again, we're talking with Tony, 10-Day Tony from the Dan Le Batard Show, Meadowlark Media. Make sure to follow all of his work, everything that's going on over there. You know, keeping Miami on the map, man. We can't, can't hate it. Really quickly, because I'll probably check up with you some point in the season, but week one is only a couple weeks away. Dolphins, 2.5-point favorites as it stands right now against the Patriots. Are you taking the Dolphins 2.5? Are you taking the Patriots plus 2.5? How do you see that one shaping up?
So we were talking before we started recording, where I told you I think the Patriots roster top to bottom is the worst roster in the AFC East. I think the Dolphins have a better roster from front to back. I think obviously the Bills have a superior roster in the division. I think the Jets have a better roster from top to bottom than the Patriots do. Like, I like the Jets' offensive weapons, defense, you know, whatever. But to me, like, everybody's been talking about how Mac Jones is taking a step forward. Mac Jones is the best shape of his life, you know, best shape of their life season just passed through with training camp, where everybody's in the best shape of their life. But like, when you talk about your biggest addition offensively is the guy who was 127th and 132nd in separation rate as your wide receiver one, like, that to me is a problem, right? Like, they want to run a lot of 12 with Hunter Henry, with Jonnu Smith, shout out FIU. Like, when you have those guys kind of building your offense, and you've got Ramondre Stevenson, Damian Harris, kind of another hodgepodge of running backs, it just, to me, like, that team is not what it's been, obviously, the last couple years, even without Tom Brady, right? Like, I thought that they were actually really good last year. A lot of key... To me, it boils down to this, Alex. You lose your offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels. He goes to the Raiders. He brings a couple of guys with him over to Las Vegas. The fact that you haven't replaced a offensive mind like Josh McDaniels, and you bring in Matt Patricia, who failed in Detroit to get anything offensively going, and now he's your pseudo offensive coordinator, to me, that's a problem, right? Like, the Dolphins are 2.5. I wouldn't be surprised if things trend the way that they're trending in the next 2 weeks, where that line can move to 4, move to 5.
Wow.
Like, I just don't see, especially with the hype of what the Miami Dolphins are doing right now. I feel like I see them on NFL Network all the time. I see them on ESPN all the time. Like, everybody's talking about them. It's only a matter of time till Vegas says, wait a second, 2.5 is like very generous, especially at home. Like, we got to kick this up a notch. So to me, I think that first game is going to be easy. Like, there's going to be a lot of kinks to get out with the Dolphins. Obviously, a new offense scheme, a lot of new players, a lot of newness. I think that they're still going to beat the Patriots. To me, again, there's nothing that the Patriots can do outside of doing what they did to the Bills in that, what was it, like mid-November game, where it was just like negative 70 degrees and the wind chill was like a hurricane outside, and they ran the ball 78 times.
Yeah.
Like, outside of just out physicaling the Dolphins, I think the Dolphins have too much depth, too much talent to lose a home game to a team that just is the worst team in the division, in my take.
Yeah, Tua owns Bill Belichick. Let's be 100% honest. Tua owns them. And
so weird,
the Dolphins.
But so did Tanny. But so did Tanny in a weird way.
The Dolphins seem to get the, it's like the only team that has had success at least at home against the Patriots in the Brady era, even the post-Brady era as well. He's Tony, 10-Day Tony on Twitter and Instagram. I feel like we could do 3 hours of just like QAM stories because people don't know. You spent a good chunk of time at WQAM before you went to ESPN, and then you followed the guys over to the Meadowlark. So I feel like we could do just like 3 hours on Joe Rowe stories or something.
or other radio hosts.
Yeah, we'll save that. We'll save that for when we get fired at some point or other archives. People get fired. Yeah.
The archives of all the things that have happened throughout the years. It's been fun though. I mean, you can check in, you can send me the check after we finish this, but like I'll just be on for a regular hit every single week. Is that okay?
The check that they're not even paying me for this. So I
what?
No, they are, but I don't think
my agent negotiated a certain rate, so that's what I'm saying. Like if we want to keep going with this rate, like I'm cool, just not, you know, we'll check in every Friday.
Yeah, your agent Chris Cody, shout out to him for hooking me up with this interview. No, seriously, I hope everybody follows Tony, follows what they're doing over there with the Lebatard Show and all the content they're putting out. I always say this, like we're Miami guys, and you know, I feel like people should appreciate, I don't know if this is going to sound bad, but people should appreciate a couple Miami guys just doing what we loved, which was talking sports and you know, being out there and kind of doing it.
From FIU to putting up tents at the promotional team at 790 to producers to Honor Talent, like we've come a long way, man. It's crazy to think where we were. What year is it? 2022. It's crazy to think where we were at in 2015.
Yep.
Right. 6-7 years ago, like what we were doing to what we're doing now, it's a tremendous blessing. And like you're somebody that me and you have grown up together in this industry from even way back in the day when we were doing our own show at FIU. Like it's crazy to see, you know, how good you've gotten at this. It used to be bad.
I could say something about you. Those FIU shows. I mean, God bless like the three people who are listening. God bless them, because who knows what was going on there. Again, he's Tony from I don't know, like 10-day Tony. That's what people know you as. So I feel like that's the appropriate
now, 10-day Tony.
Yeah, that's the appropriate way to present you here. Follow him again on Twitter and Instagram. And thanks, bro. I guess I'll see you around at the Grove or something. I'll be drunk. You find me.
Let's do it.
That was 10-day Tony there. Appreciate his time. We'll wrap up the Miami Dolphins Rewind Show ahead of tomorrow's final preseason game. Remember, it's a 7 p.m. kickoff from Hard Rock Stadium. Your pregame show begins at 3 right here on QAM. Dolphins Rewind, it's driven by your Southern Lexus dealerships. Real life, real luxury. The Lexus Golden Opportunity sales event now through September 6th. Final segment here on the Miami Dolphins Rewind Show. Appreciate everybody who's tuning in right now. And if you're listening on the podcast, I appreciate you as well. At Alex M. Solana, if you want to engage with me on social media, I'll be at the game tomorrow. Remember, 7 p.m., your preseason finale for the Miami Dolphins versus the Philadelphia Eagles. Dolphins Rewind, it's driven by Southern Lexus dealerships. Real life, real luxury, the Lexus Golden Opportunity sales event now through September 6th. I am doing a new Miami Dolphins podcast, by the way, along with Brendan Tobin from the Tobin and Leroy Show on our sister station, 790 The Ticket. And I'm going to play for you a segment from the Porpoise Pod. That's the name of the podcast. It'd be great if you could look it up, download it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, pretty much everywhere you get your podcasts. You can download the Porpoise Pod. I highly recommend that you do if you're a Miami Dolphins fan. And we do this segment called Echolocation. I know. Cheesy Dolphins pun. I get it. But we always look at some of the best sound of the week, including some of what Tua Tagovailoa had to say this week after joint practices on Wednesday against the Eagles.
Well, here's Tua. He was asked about what does he notice being the big difference from this year as compared to his first two seasons?
Everything. Offense is different. The confidence that the guys have coming out to practice is different. The confidence that the guys have coming into the building is different. You know, the way we do things around the building is different. Just everything. I can't necessarily point to one thing. And I think that's what's going to help make us a better team is, you know, us spending more time with each other, not just in the building, but outside the building. And we'll see where this thing goes for us.
Yeah, I mean, he says he can't point it out to one thing, but if he really wanted to, he could just sum it up in Brian Flores.
Yep.
Because if you're going to talk about the way you work, the way everybody is, their attitude, the way that just in general they're going about their business. I mean, he doesn't do that because he's a sweetheart. But if he wanted to, he could just say the head coach is different.
Tell us you hate Brian Flores without telling us you hate Brian Flores is essentially what happened there.
I don't know. It's just more enjoyable to work. We work more efficiently. We're happier. Feels better. I can't put my finger on it, on what it is. But it's a lot of things. It escapes me. Just if I had to pinpoint it just down to one thing, could you say it's Brian Flores? Perhaps. But yeah, he is definitely a guy who seems a lot happier going to work. That's for sure.
Yeah. And the organization has made it clear. They're all in on him. Man, that's gotta be a good feeling, because since he's been here, it was the Fitzpatrick nonsense. And then it was obviously Herbert overshadowing him. Like, not that he's upset at Justin Herbert, but those comments have always been there. He's been asked about it. The organization bought in, period. End of story. McDaniel has said everything correctly about Tua. So, man, he's happy coming into work now. That's a big deal. It really is. Even if you're getting paid millions of dollars, nobody wants to go to an environment where they're not comfortable. Like, he's happy being there.
Yeah, and especially we can see, people can fall out of love with these quarterbacks very, very fast. Like, you look at Baker Mayfield, who was just named the starter this week in Carolina. Like, oh, my God, Cleveland, they were so happy to have Baker Mayfield. And then they were just rats off a ship immediately on him as soon as he's playing through injury. So, look, he's got to perform. There's no doubt about that, because I think there's still a segment of the fan base that's already doesn't believe he can be good. But for those who are optimistic that he is in a better situation, they do have better stuff around him, and they are going to empower him, then I think you look at that and you say to yourself, all right, I think I really do believe in the guy's skill set. Because, look, the thing that was interesting about this week at practice was, you sit there with out-of-town media, because Philadelphia's there, they're surly. And even there, just like, wow, this guy, his throws are very impressive. Like, they're talking about big Jalen Hurts versus Tua thing. That's always, that's going to be a thing because of their ties from Alabama, right, Tua replacing Jalen Hurts, all that. So I get the storyline, but even they're like, man, Jalen Hurts can't make those throws. So that's it. Cause you put your guard up, you we can be homers. I'll admit it, whatever. People look at that as an insult. I look at that as a badge of honor. So, when you start hearing that outside stuff and you do get that outside perspective, you're like, all right, other people are seeing it. They are seeing that this kid looks like he has a lot of talent. Obviously, it has to be done in a game, but he definitely is performing with a different air of confidence.
Yeah, it was interesting to see the Philadelphia beat writers. I saw the same thread on Reddit as well, and they're a lot – that was their reaction. Wow. Okay. Two was good. This isn't, this, because who was it a couple days ago? Was it the reporter who said that the Miami media keeps inflating Tua Tagovailoa? I don't remember who said that, but I think it was somebody from CBS National, or he kept saying that, you
Pete
can't
Prisco?
Trust. Was it Pete Prisco? It was
that
one of these
seems
guys.
Like a Pete Prisco thing to do.
It was one of these guys, where it the Pete
was
Prisco's
it Lacanfora?
No, it was Lacanfora has kind of fallen off. I don't know if you've noticed. Like, he's not even doing.
Yeah,
like,
I haven't even seen Lacanfora now that you mentioned it.
Yeah, no hate, by the way. Like, he's good at what he does, but
you are right though.
He slights the Finns every now and then as well.
With Lacanfora, feels like he's always the national guy that does come in with some Finns dirt just out of nowhere. You know, he's like Randy Orton with the RKO out of nowhere. Here's a little bit more from Tua as we're on this topic, because this is kind of just him even expounding on it a little bit more and why he feels his confidence is at a bigger spot. And no surprise, who you think he's giving the credit to?
I think for the team, it's the guys that are helping us get to where we want to go. And I would say it's our position coaches. It's obviously our head coach, who is probably one of the most optimistic people I've ever been around, and I would say just those guys and kind of the leadership that Mike displays for everyone to see. That I think that's what gives the entirety of the team confidence.
Wow. I mean, if you want to just say, obviously I would like to put it on our head coach. like, again, yeah, it goes back to like, yeah, tell me you hate Brian Flores and also how much you love the new coach. He is, it's an important partnership, you know, Peyton and Breeze, Belichick and Brady, you know, like people will always go to that stuff as far as an important level of, you know, McVay and Stafford this year. Like, I think that they'll always look at that relationship. It's an important symbiosis, especially when you are the head coach calling plays. And man, he's the most optimistic person I've ever been around.
Certainly high praise there from Tua about his new Miami Dolphins head coach. We're back live now. That was a segment from the Porpoise Pod, the newest Miami Dolphins podcast that I co-host with Brendan Tobin from 790 The Ticket. Would be great if you could download, subscribe the Porpoise Pod on Spotify, on Apple Podcast. It would be greatly appreciated. This has been the Miami Dolphins Rewind Show. Tomorrow, preseason finale, and then we're just two Sundays away from Miami Dolphins football. You know Tua owns Bill Belichick. I mentioned it with Tony. So, listen, we're expecting a dub to start off the season. There's absolutely no doubt about it, and I know all of you are as hyped up as I am for Miami Dolphins football season to finally arrive. But we do have one more preseason game tomorrow, 7 p.m. Don't forget, right here on 560 WQAM, your home for Miami Dolphins football. At 3, it's Kevin Rogers. It's Aronde Gadsden. It's the broadcast I produce, the Miami Dolphins pregame show. We call it Dolphins Game Day right here on your home for Dolphins football, 560 WQAM. I appreciate everybody who tuned in, who stuck around. Thank you very much to Tony, one of my oldest friends, for joining the show. Hopefully, we'll get to check in with him throughout the season here on the Dolphins Rewind Show. A couple of Miami guys talking Dolphins football on the radio. I love it. Dolphins Rewind. It's driven by your Southern Lexus dealerships. Real life, real luxury. The Lexus Golden Opportunity sales event now through September 6th. It's Friday night. It's 10. I'm going to Wynwood. I will see everybody at Hard Rock Stadium tomorrow. Dolphins Rewind will be back on the air next Friday with me, Solana, at Alex M. Solana, if you want to follow me on Twitter or Instagram. Until then, fins up, everybody. Final segment here on the Miami Dolphins Rewind Show. Appreciate everybody who's tuning in right now. And if you're listening on the podcast, I appreciate you as well. At Alex M. Solana, if you want to engage with me on social media, I'll be at the game tomorrow. Remember, 7 p.m., your preseason finale for the Miami Dolphins versus the Philadelphia Eagles. Dolphins Rewind, it's driven by Southern Lexus dealerships. Real life, real luxury, the Lexus Golden Opportunity sales event now through September 6th. I am doing a new Miami Dolphins podcast, by the way, along with Brendan Tobin from the Tobin and Leroy Show on our sister station, 790 The Ticket. And I'm going to play for you a segment from the Porpoise Pod. That's the name of the podcast. It'd be great if you could look it up, download it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, pretty much everywhere you get your podcasts. You can download the Porpoise Pod. I highly recommend that you do if you're a Miami Dolphins fan. And we do this segment called Echolocation. I know, cheesy Dolphins pun. I get it. But we always look at some of the best sound of the week, including some of what Tua Tagovailoa had to say this week after joint practices on Wednesday against the Eagles.
Well, here's Tua. He was asked about what does he notice being the big difference from this year as compared to his first two seasons.
Everything. Offense is different. The confidence that the guys have coming out to practice is different. The confidence that the guys have coming into the building is different. You know, the way we do things around the building is different. Just everything. I can't necessarily point to one thing. And I think that's what's going to help make us a better team is, you know, us spending more time with each other, not just in the building, but outside the building. And we'll see where this thing goes for us.
Yeah, I mean, he can't point it out to one thing, but if he really wanted to, he could just sum it up in Brian Flores.
Yep.
Because if you're going to talk about the way you work, the way everybody is, their attitude, the way that just in general they're going about their business, I mean, he doesn't do that because he's a sweetheart. But if he wanted to, he could just say the head coach is different.
Tell us you hate Brian Flores without telling us you hate Brian Flores is essentially what happened there.
listen, I don't know. It's just more enjoyable to work. We work more efficiently. We're happier. Feels better. I can't put my finger on it, on what it is. But it's a lot of things. It escapes me. Just if I had to pinpoint it just down to one thing, could you say it's Brian Flores? Perhaps. He is definitely a guy who seems a lot happier going to work. That's for sure.
Yeah. And the organization has made it clear they're all in on him. Man, that's got to be a good feeling, because since he's been here, it was the Fitzpatrick nonsense. And then it was obviously Herbert overshadowing him. Like, not that he's upset at Justin Herbert, but, you know, like those comments have always been there. He's been asked about it. The organization bought in, period. End of story. McDaniel has said everything correctly about Tua. So, man, like, he's happy coming into work now. That's a big deal. It really is. Even if you're getting paid millions of dollars, nobody wants to go to an environment where they're not comfortable. Like, he's happy being there.
Yeah, and especially we can see, like, people can fall out of love with these quarterbacks very, very fast. Like, you look at, like, Baker Mayfield, who was just named the starter this week in Carolina. Like, oh, my God, Cleveland, they were so happy to have Baker Mayfield. And then they were just rats off a ship immediately on him as soon as he's playing through injury. So, look, he's got to perform. There's no doubt about that, because I think there's still a segment of the fan base that's already doesn't believe he can be good. But for those who are optimistic that he is in a better situation, they do have better stuff around him and they are going to empower him, then I think you look at that and you say to yourself, all right, I think I really do believe in the guy's skill set. Because, look, the thing that was interesting about this week at practice was, you sit there with out-of-town media because Philadelphia's there. They're surly. And even there, it's just like, wow, this guy, his throws are very impressive. Like, they're talking about, like, the big Jalen Hurts versus Tua thing. That's always, that's going to be a thing because of their ties from Alabama. Right. Tua replacing Jalen Hurts, all that. So I get the storyline. But even they're like, man, Jalen Hurts can't make those throws. So, that's it. Because you put your guard up. You we can be homers. I'll admit it. Whatever. People look at that as an insult. I look at that as a badge of honor. So, like, when you start hearing that outside stuff and you do get that outside perspective, you're like, all right, other people are seeing it. They are seeing that this kid looks like he has a lot of talent. Obviously, it has to be done in a game, but he definitely is performing with a different air of confidence.
Yeah, it was interesting to see the Philadelphia beat writers. I saw the same thread on Reddit as well, and that was their reaction. Wow. Like, oh, okay, Tua's good. This isn't, this, because who was it a couple days ago? Was it the reporter who said that the Miami media keeps inflating Tua Tagovailoa? I don't remember who said that, but I think it was somebody from CBS National, or he kept saying that, you
Pete Prisco?
Was it Pete Prisco? It was
that
one of these guys.
That seems like a Pete Prisco thing to do.
It was one of these guys, where it the Pete
was
Prisco.
Was it La Canfora?
No, it was La Canfora has kind of fallen off. I don't know if you've noticed. Like, he's not even doing
that.
Like,
I haven't even seen La Canfora now that you mentioned it.
Yeah. No hate, by the way. Like, he's good at what he does, but
you are right, though.
He slights the fins every now and then as well.
With La Canfora, feels like he's always the national guy that does come in with some fins dirt just out of nowhere. You know, he's like Randy Orton with the RKO out of nowhere. Here's a little bit more from Tua as we're on this topic, because this is kind of just him even expounding on it a little bit more. And why he feels his confidence is at a bigger spot. And no surprise, who you think he's giving the credit to?
I think for the team, like, it's the guys that are helping us get to where we want to go. And I would say it's our position coaches. It's obviously our head coach, who is probably one of the most optimistic people I've ever been around. And I would say just those guys and kind of the leadership that Mike displays for everyone to see, that I think that's what gives the entirety of the team confidence.
Wow. I mean, if you want to just say, obviously I would like to put it on our head coach. Like, again, yeah, it goes back to, like, yeah, tell me you hate Brian Flores, and also how much you love the new coach. He is, it's an important partnership, Peyton and Breeze, Belichick and Brady, people will always go to that stuff as far as an important level of, McVay and Stafford this year. Like, I think that they'll always look at that relationship. It's an important symbiosis, especially when you are the head coach calling plays. And, man, he's the most optimistic person I've ever been around.
Certainly high praise there from Tua about his new Miami Dolphins head coach. We're back live now. That was a segment from the Porpoise Pod, the newest Miami Dolphins podcast that I co-host with Brendan Tobin from 790 The Ticket. Would be great if you could download, subscribe the Porpoise Pod on Spotify, on Apple Podcast. It would be greatly appreciated. This has been the Miami Dolphins Rewind Show. Tomorrow, preseason finale, and then we're just two Sundays away from Miami Dolphins football. You know Tua owns Bill Belichick. I mentioned it with Tony. So, listen, we're expecting a dub to start off the season. There's absolutely no doubt about it, and I know all of you are as hyped up as I am for Miami Dolphins football season to finally arrive. But we do have one more preseason game tomorrow, 7 p.m. Don't forget, right here on 560 WQAM, your home for Miami Dolphins football. At 3, it's Kevin Rogers. It's Aronde Gadsden. It's the broadcast I produce, the Miami Dolphins pregame show. We call it Dolphins Game Day right here on your home for Dolphins football, 560 WQAM. I appreciate everybody who tuned in, who stuck around. Thank you very much to Tony, one of my oldest friends, for joining the show. Hopefully, we'll get to check in with him throughout the season here on the Dolphins Rewind Show. A couple of Miami guys talking Dolphins football on the radio. I love it. Dolphins Rewind. It's driven by your Southern Lexus dealerships. Real life, real luxury. The Lexus Golden Opportunity sales event now through September 6th. It's Friday night. It's 10. I'm going to Wynwood. I will see everybody at Hard Rock Stadium tomorrow. Dolphins Rewind will be back on the air next Friday with me, Solana, at Alex M. Solana, if you want to follow me on Twitter or Instagram. Until then, fins up, everybody.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.